This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three. Are you kidding me?
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Hey, thank you. We go inside the bubble direct from Orlando, USA Today's Mark Medina joining us. Thank you so much for your time here, Mark. And man, what an experience this must be, being inside the bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, it's been surreal, Lawrence. And I mean, great catching up with you. It's been a while with, you know, not being on the Warriors anymore. But, you know, the crazy thing is, I felt like I've seen it all covering the NBA, with covering the Lakers, covering the Warriors. There's always so much going on. But, you know, given the state of our world, this is just a whole new feeling of uncharted territory. And as it pertains to the, you know, the NBA campus bubble in Orlando, there's been a lot to unpack for sure.
You know, we think of the time that you were covering the Warriors for the Bay Area News Group and some very important years in franchise history. And most recently for USA Today, inside the bubble, you did an interview with one of our very favorite Warriors of all time, Andre Iguodala, the 2015 Finals MVP, now with the Miami Heat. What did you pick up in that two-part interview with Andre?
Yeah, it was a few things. I mean, as you know, Andre is very good at being like a polished contrarian, so to speak, right? Where, you know, he presents his views very thoughtfully and thoroughly, but he also likes to go against the grain and speak his honesty, and whether it's, you know, the right thing to say, quote unquote, or not. And so with Andre, he got into a lot of the social justice elements, you know, as a lot of, you know, folks around the NBA have done for, you know, rightfully so reasons. But one of the things that he stressed was, you know, now's not the time to be counting whatever victories you can. Like, this is a nice movement, there's more support. But his message was, like, we got to put the gas on the pedal. And so, you know, I was asking him about what he thought of what it took for the NBA and the players union to get a kind of commitment where the board of governors, all 30 league owners, are going to be donating $300 million over the next 10 years to a new foundation that will help the black community, help black businesses. And Andre had a window into that because he's one of the vice presidents with the players union. And he was saying, look, if you break it down, it's $10 million a year per team. That's almost a tax write-off for these teams. So it's not as impactful as it might seem. And it's all about, we got to use this as a starting point to, you know, create more change. So he's, as you know, when he was in Golden State, he's done a lot of work with different tech companies and looking at different investment opportunities. And he's certainly done that to expand his business portfolio, but he's also been trying to align with different organizations that can help invest in the black community, you know, as it pertains to small businesses, community organizations, because he really feels strongly that that specific avenue can create a lot of change for the good, because you're not only helping financially, you know, underserved communities, but you're, you know, increasing their generational wealth and access to resources, education, housing, job training. And he feels like that becomes a cyclical thing because they can then recycle those resources into strengthening their communities even more. So there was a lot to unpack there, but, you know, he called me up to speed a little bit with his new time in Miami. I mean, he's kind of serving a similar role as he did in Golden State, where he has established credentials, but he's not the main guy. He's playing with all-star teammates. But it is a little bit apples and oranges, because the Warriors, they had four all-stars, the Heat have two. And the way the Warriors would go about their practice regimen, it was, you know, a very steady pace because they were always in the finals. And here it's a little bit different, where the Heat have always been this team since LeBron James left that they didn't want to become a lottery team. They always wanted to be a team that's a serious playoff contender. So there is a lot of kind of that playoff intensity and trying to, you know, overachieve with the sum of your greater parts. So as a result of that, there's a heavier emphasis on conditioning, a lot of more intense practice and film work. But because Andre is who he is, a very versatile player, very smart player. He's been able to adapt pretty well, and you know, that he'd appreciate him for all that.
You know, you're seeing these games up close and personal, being there in the mix, watching it on TV. I mean, we're seeing them coming fast and furious, and so many storylines, and the pack of teams in the Western Conference trying to get into the playoffs at the bottom rung of things is very interesting. But when you think of all of your favorite stories thus far inside the bubble in Orlando, what have you enjoyed?
Oh, it's really tough to rank, because I feel like I try to keep things in perspective, right? Where I think the more important stories for me to tell, given the state of our world, is how the health and safety protocols are going, because, you know, for the NBA to resume this successfully, they've had to make sure that they're doing all the right things, and also some of the social justice initiatives. But I will say, from a basketball standpoint, the most enjoyable stories I've been seeing are basically what the Portland Trailblazers have been doing. I've almost become a de facto beat writer for them, because every game that they play has implications for what it means for the eighth playoff chase. So it's been fun to see Damian Lillard, you know, go off for 55 points or 61 points, seeing Carmelo Anthony show flashes of what he was, you know, as a previous all-star, and they're just a fun team to watch. And so that has seemed to be the predominant basketball story, but certainly, you know, I think the health and safety and the social justice initiatives have I think rightfully taken more focus because of what the scope means.
Well, let's focus on that then. And I mean, help us out here with what some of those safety protocols were from when you arrived. I mean, break down, if you don't mind, what it was to arrive inside the bubble, then go through the testing process, the quarantine, and how have things unfolded in the weeks since to keep this whole thing safe? And what measures have the NBA put into place so that everyone does feel like it's a productive and safe environment?
Yeah, I mean, it's very comprehensive. And when I say very comprehensive, it's not hyperbole, because they have a health and safety protocol that's 113 pages. And I had to go through it because it's part of my job, right? So I wrote about it, gave it to health experts for their feedback, and they said this is the most comprehensive planning that they've seen from any level, and far greater than anything they've seen from the federal and state government level. Now, that's rightfully a huge indictment on how the government's been handling the pandemic, but, you know, they've also made that remark because they felt like the NBA covered their ground here. So for my day-to-day, I got here July 12th. As soon as I arrived on site and got to my hotel room, I had to do a seven-day quarantine. I couldn't leave my room because they just wanted to make sure that everyone coming in wasn't compromised. So I was getting three meals delivered outside my door every day. I was getting tested outside every day. And once I cleared that protocol for 7 days, you know, I've been able to you know, go to practices and games by going on a shuttle bus. You know, the bus drivers are tested daily. And then, you know, we have to adhere to all the social distancing rules. I mean, we have to wear a mask. They enforce that. Around our credential, we have a beeper device that goes off very loudly if you're standing within 6 feet of someone. So even for people like ourselves that are taking these rules seriously, you know, no one really is walking outside with measuring tape, right? So there were a lot of times, especially early on, where the beeping would go off. And I think that was a very good reinforcement to know what our boundaries are. And then the other thing that we have to do every day, we have a health app that we've had to download on our phone, where we open it every morning. We have to fill out a questionnaire reporting any sort of symptoms that the CDC has outlined that could possibly mean that you have a COVID test or a positive COVID test. You have to report your daily temperature. You have to get your oximeter reading, which is your oxygen levels. You put all that data in every day, and they can then determine if you're allowed to leave the room. And they also determine what your previous test was the night before. And that turnaround time is usually 12 to 15 hours. So since I've gotten there July 12th, I've gotten tested daily. I've done the social distancing rules. We have this device called a Disney Magic Band. that we have to wear around our, wear as a watch almost. The most basic use of it, it's your hotel room key, but you also use it to pass different checkpoints. So when you go to a hotel, when you go to the practice facility or an arena, you have to check in. And what they can do there, it's not a tracking device where it's monitoring your movements or collecting your data. What it does is a green light will go off if they know, hey, your previous COVID test tested negative and you've entered your questionnaire that morning and everything was good. And so that's a kind of a stopgap measure that if, heaven forbid, there was a positive test or someone simply forgot to fill out their questionnaire that day, that they can then prevent that person from entering a public building. So there's a lot of thorough planning with that. But I think at the same time, the NBA doesn't want to run a victory lap because they know that right now it's, mid to late August, and they have until mid-October to finish the season here. So a lot of time can happen between now and then. But I think the fact that there have been zero positive tests since we've arrived in the last 3 weeks, that's a reflection of how thorough and well thought out the protocols the NBA has outlined here.
We are joined by USA Today's Mark Medina, and you think back to opening night several Thursdays ago, certainly impactful and emotional with those social justice messages that you were talking about, certainly at the forefront. Just how has that continued from what you're seeing in person as the weeks have unfolded?
Yeah, I think it's become a ritual. The majority of players and coaches and officials will kneel down during the national anthem to protest systemic racism. There have been a few exceptions. Jonathan Isaac with the Orlando Magic, Greg Popovich and Becky Hammon with the San Antonio Spurs, Myers Leonard with the Miami Heat. Their explanations have varied. Jonathan Isaac, cited his Christian faith. Popovich didn't say anything, but he's also been pretty public with his support for the social justice movement in general. And Myers Leonard, he went into pretty full detail that, he consulted with his teammates to make sure he got support. And he still wore a Black Lives Matter t-shirt during the anthem, but he just felt strongly that he still wants to stand during the anthem because he comes from military background. I think by and large, even though that has been a tribute and a gesture teams have been doing on a game-to-game basis, I think they've gotten to the point now where it's about their actions and what their initiatives are. So, there's a lot of players that have done different things. LeBron James and a handful of other players have been getting involved with More Than a Vote, which helps with voter registration to address some of the voter suppression going on in minority communities. Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony have a foundation called the Social Change Fund that helps with investing in the Black community. The Players Union, as I mentioned, aligned with the NBA to get $300 million donated to a new foundation that will help Black businesses. And I think other players are continuing to brainstorm ideas, and you're also seeing a lot of teams be a part of voting initiatives where there's a lot of them that are starting to make plans to use their venue as polling sites for the November 3rd election, and they're also helping with voter registration drives. So I think, they've reached the point where, the general public is more accepting of the gestures during the national anthem and far more than what Colin Kaepernick faced when he started that in 2016. But I think they're also at the point now where it's about the next step and trying to, create a snowball effect.
Mark Medina of USA Today joining us. A few days back, the National Basketball Coaches Association naming Mike Budenholzer of the Bucks and Billy Donovan of the Thunder co-recipients of their Coach of the Year award. And, I think about the leadership that you must be seeing on display for coaches on all staffs, keeping things together so that the basketball is of quality there. What has stood out when you see these coaching staffs in action?
Yeah, I think it's been an interesting, you know, kind of juggling exercise, because a lot of coaches, they want to have practices because they haven't played since March. You want to get the rust off. You want to get the chemistry going again. But they also just know there's the law of diminishing returns. And so that's why they started having a ramp up before these seeding games where they could get a lot of practices. But since the games have started, it's almost become, you know, similar to what happens during a normal regular season, where, you know, the priorities change, where it's more about health than trying to maximize practice and instruction time. But I will say that even though different teams have dealt with different injuries and some teams have dealt with issues with trying to get the chemistry going, I've been pleasantly surprised that the quality of play has been as good as it is. And part of it has to do with the fact that there have been about six teams that are trying to jockey for that eighth playoff spot. So that's going to be competitive anyway. But I think the quality of play has also been good. And I think that's a huge boon for the league, obviously, because one of their motives to get the season resumed was, let's try to recoup and salvage our revenue that we lost when the season ended. And their revenue, a lot of it's tied to TV. And so I think the more enticing games you have, the better the viewership will be. So that's not to say everything has been perfect. Like, for, I think for the top teams, after that initial wave of games, they started deciding that health is more important and they've rested certain players. It looks like that some teams, the Clippers in particular, particularly last week when they rested Kawhi Leonard against Portland, they're trying to indirectly influence who the last playoff seed will be. So some of those rest versus play debates have emerged. But I think compared to how it is in the regular season, these games have a much greater level of excitement because of what the stakes mean for the eighth playoff seed, and just the fact that we haven't seen basketball in the last few months. So it's cool to see it again.
You know, beyond coaches, you've had a bubble life series that you've had with your work and, you know, equipment managers and others making all of this scene in Orlando come together, have been involved. From what you've seen, how have the challenges been met, and really what are the lessons here that have been learned that can be helpful moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, for the behind the scenes people, I started doing this occasional diary series about, you know, just doing interviews and allowing them to put in their own words what it's like. And so some of those interviews, as you mentioned, are equipment managers or trainers. And I think what their takeaway is that there's just a lot of busyness and a lot going on and a lot of long days. But I think that there's an appreciation that there is this all in together kind of feel because everyone's on the same campus. So what this means, big picture, I think that there is increasing optimism that the season will be completed without any positive cases. Now, you know, you have to give the caveat that we still have 2 months left and a lot can happen. But I think this also has allowed them to look ahead and be concerned about, well, what does this mean for next season? And I think because of how everything's been going on with Major League Baseball and, you know, college football recently having to postpone their games, there's a lot more growing skepticism that there can be a season under normal circumstances because of how long this pandemic has hit. And so I think the players' union and the league, they're trying to get their head wrapped around the possibility that if they're going to have any sort of season next year, it would have to be in some kind of campus bubble again. But there are challenges with just doing the same setup as they are now, because you're talking a full season, so there's a lot more financial and family sacrifices everyone has to make. But, you know, thankfully they do have some time to figure all those things out. But, you know, I've noticed during this pandemic, for better or worse, there's a lot of days that feel slow, but then there's a lot of times you feel like the days are going by quickly. So they'll have to be able to pivot pretty soon after the season ends to gain a sense of what's next for the following year.
Mark, this has been immensely enlightening and a real pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to catch up and let us know what it has been there in the bubble in Orlando and what you're doing with your work with USA Today and what you've been seeing. Really, really great to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Lawrence, thank you for having me, and hope you and yours are hanging in there, and it's been a blast being able to talk basketball with you again.
This has been Warriors Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!